You're watching and listening to Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger, wrapping up the final weekend of the season. Both of our teams are done. It's conference championship weekend, though, so there will be some really good football that goes down. We'll get to kind of see how the playoff picture is going to shape up and the bowls. And I don't have to suffer through a loss. So it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, so season's done. We'll certainly talk about the game a ton. And then maybe a little conference championship, maybe a little playoff, do some picks. How was your Thanksgiving, though? We'll go good before bad for you.
Okay, let's go good before bad. Thanksgiving was good. We went to my parents' house. They keep telling us that they're going to sell their house, which we it's the house that we've grown up in. They built it when I was in first grade. So this may have been the last Thanksgiving there, although I do think that they kind of are maybe making this up. We'll see. And it was good. Lots of craziness, lots of kids going on, lots of football, Egg Bowl never disappoints on Thanksgiving. So it was good. What about you?
Yeah. My Thanksgiving was a little bit boring, but that's because we traveled on Thanksgiving. We had a really, really good week before the actual day of Thanksgiving. We went up to the cabins. We obviously did a show from up there and just kind of hung out, did all our celebrating and stuff. And then we drove back down. I split off from Kara around Valdosta. She brought the kids the rest of the way home. I went to Tallahassee and hung out and watched the Egg Bowl and chilled with some friends. Got up and went to the game. So Thanksgiving Day was just kind of like whatever. It wasn't really.
Yeah.
We didn't have a big feast. We went to Waffle House that morning. That was a lot of fun. Smothered and covered Thanksgiving.
There you go.
We had said like we wanted to do that. That was cool. But yeah, Thanksgiving Day was just kind of okay. I mean, it was fine. No complaints. But it wasn't our traditional Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
I think next year with the game back on Saturday. We'll leave on Friday and we'll have
I will say I didn't hate it on Friday, which
okay,
completely opposed. I kind of wanted to go back to Saturday, but I didn't hate it being like the only show in town.
Okay, so pros and cons. We'll talk about that first. Pros and cons of this of the Friday game. Pro was I left Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And got home at like 1. I wanted to get home at noon to watch the games, but got home at 1 and got to watch all the games. So that was cool because I think I've gone to every game since 2014.
Yeah.
And so for whatever that is, 7 or 8 years, right? Like I've not seen any of the other games outside what's maybe on at a tailgate or so. So that's a pro.
Sure.
The guarantee of it being at night is another pro.
Uh-huh.
Like if we go into that game next year, and I'm not predicting this yet.
Although I will say Alabama Auburn has been at 4 before when it's been on Friday too. I can't imagine that would be earlier than 4, but I think it'll either be 4 or 7:30 or 8, depending on who picks it up.
So, yeah. And there have been times like if Florida's having, if the home team is having a bad year, no matter how good the other team has been, like
it's
they've made
be
that. Admit, yeah, like Florida State won a national title and they made the 2013 game at noon. So I do like the guarantee of night. Like I do.
Sure.
So that's another pro.
That's a pro.
Other than that, the only con is that it's just not your regular thing, just not your normal thing. But other than that, I don't really have a lot of cons for it. I'm fine with it going back to Saturday. I don't really have a huge problem with it. Again, for regularity of Thanksgiving, I will say Florida State does a really good job with their Friday night block parties where they just get thousands and thousands of people out there on Madison Street, right across from the stadium. They've always got a band that comes in. They always do it really, really big. All the bars are, have vendors out there. And it is a really good time. And the vibes of the city on a Friday night are usually really, really good. We usually hit the block party quickly, grab something to eat, and then hit a brewery or two or grab some whiskey, whatever. It's a cool time. Thursday night was dead. There was nothing going on. Now, obviously,
a lot of people aren't even back in town yet.
For sure. Not back in town, doing stuff with their families. Like Madison Social, like kind of the big bar there, right? Like opened at like 8 and it was bar only. I'm sure it got cranking, right, with college kids and stuff. But like by that time, like I'm not going to a college kid bar. So that was kind of a con. Obviously, if you know, the city filled back up, there was a, you know, it was a sellout and stuff. So
yeah,
it was good. But I will say that maybe that's another con. Like you can't, you don't get to have your like Friday night.
Because of Thanksgiving. Whatever. If it was a Thursday night during a normal week, it would be fine. Thursday night bars are, you know, that's a great night to go out to college town generally. But to think that your kids are going to be back with Thanksgiving that day probably isn't going to happen. They're driving in the next day, especially with it being a night game on Friday. That literally gives them time, wake up, drive, you know, 95% of them are driving in from somewhere in Central Florida, North Florida, South Georgia, something like that. So they don't have that far to go. They're waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning and driving in and, you know, tailgating the second they get there.
Yeah. So didn't hate it. I'm fine with it going back to Saturday for next year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if they occasionally do it. Like once every 4 years, they do a Friday night thing. It doesn't matter to me. But like, I thought it was neat. There were some pros to it.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly enough to where if it was either one or the other, I'd be like flipping out. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a huge deal to me one way or the other. All right. So the actual game, ton of fun in Tallahassee. I will say that, it was rainy. It was kind of nasty, but we did another big tailgate and had a lot of fun there and had a lot of fun doing that. Even had some Gator fans come by and they remained pretty cordial. So that was, fun. Your people stayed in line. So that was awesome. But no, we had a good time. The rain kind of cleared out, got a little cooler as the sun started to go down. I do like the time change, you know, where a game truly does start it
at night.
At night, and you're not getting like that first hour of sunlight. So I did enjoy that. I don't know how what do you want to talk about with the game? So you want to start? You want me to start?
Florida
obviously wins by a touchdown in pretty dramatic fashion. Thought the game was pretty fun, but maybe we'll get your perspective and go from the pit to the peak on this one.
So to speak.
As they say.
Yeah. All right. So go for it.
Oh, no. I was going to say.
Now what I'm doing is looking at Anthony Richardson's stats here because I kind of have a theory that I was trying to see if I am correct on. I'm pretty sure I am. All right, let's break this down. Anthony Richardson, first of all, Florida scores 38 points, right? It's 45-38, which is honestly the spread that I thought that this would be. I predicted a 7-point loss for Florida. So pretty close there. I want to say I said like, I don't know, 38 or 35-28, something like that. I think 35-28 is what I said. But anyway, so a little bit higher scoring. This is the highest scoring game in this rivalry's history, which is interesting. Florida didn't punt the first half. So I don't feel like you can pin this on the offense. Generally, when you score 38 points, you expect to win the ball game. That's a decent amount of points. But Anthony Richardson completed 9 passes. When you complete 30% of your passes, it's really difficult to win a ball game. Even if you do score 38 points. But I do feel like this is on the defense, regardless of you know, the fact that I don't think Anthony Richardson looked great. Florida's defense couldn't make a tackle. The D-line and the linebackers are so bad. I really actually felt like the DBs were kind of in better coverage than they had been in previous games. Still can't tackle it worth a damn. But I honestly don't know that I think they were the problem in this game. Linebackers and D-line just could not get the job done. I think that Jordan Travis is a great quarterback. I think that a really crappy defense made him look like a potential Heisman candidate. I mean, there was just some times where it was almost comical to watch. It's not that people didn't have the opportunity. It's not that people didn't have the angle. It's that they literally couldn't make tackles. He was touched by, you know, 9 guys, but nobody could get him down. So I don't want to take anything away from him because I think he is talent. I don't think he's just your run-of-the-mill.
Is that me or you? I think that's kind of you breaking out.
let me take you out and put you back in.
You hear me now?
Yeah, yeah, much better.
Okay. All right, cool. I really do. I think he's a great quarterback. I think our defense made him look all world. And a lot of that is literally just bad defense, bad tackling. But, you know, this is the thing. In the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, there was, as soon as Florida State went up in the fourth quarter, I really was like, all right, this is over. This is, you know, and then they went up by two scores. And in my mind, all right, that's it. This is potentially going to get out of hand at this point. But this team kept fighting. And, you know, you're talking about a team with a terrible defense, missing five wide receivers. They did have their number one wide receiver option playing in Pearsall, but the next five guys behind him were out. I was impressed with the fight, which I feel like is something I've said this entire year. There's lots of times where they're not good, but there's not really been a time where I felt like they just quit. So, I mean, that's the story of it, right? You know, they lost by 7 points. The line was 10. So I guess a little bit better than Vegas thought they were going to do. I don't think that you can complete 30% of your passes and win a game. I don't think you can miss as many tackles as Florida's defense missed and win the game. And then, I don't know if you saw this or not, you were at the game, but I happened to tweet a picture of just an egregious hold. And I will say for the record, right off the bat, I think the officiating was terrible both ways. I thought that this was one of the worst officiated games I've seen. This particular crew is a crew that drives me nuts every time they officiate. So, this is not a new thing for me, but I tweeted that picture because it was as it happened too. And at that point, I want to say the game was tied, but as it happened, I am literally to this day still getting comments from Florida State fans calling me a sore loser. I've gotten people sending me edits with my picture with tears crying down it.
Ooh, I need to see those.
So many. And I didn't tweet it after the game. I literally tweeted it as it happened. And I'm 95% sure the game was tied at that point. But there was a targeting on Pearsall that was missed. Blatantly missed. I think there was a face mask that was missed. There was holding both ways that just like, we're just not going to call this game. So that added to my frustrations. I don't in any way think that necessarily changed the outcome of the game. I just think it's another hurdle that was frustrating as a fan to watch. But for as frustrating as this game was to watch, it was also really fun too. And it seemed like a really good atmosphere. This rivalry is better when games are like this. This rivalry is good for college football. I think that they put on a fun display for everybody else. And I will say, this is the best team Florida State's fielded in probably 5 years. This is the worst team that Florida has fielded in probably 5 years. I don't hate the way that this shook out.
Yeah, well, that's certainly an interesting comment kind of at the end. But before we respond to that and some of the other stuff you said, I do want to give a quick shout out to Greg Brunt of Brunt Insurance from Tallahassee to the Keys. You can call Greg Brunt at 954-589-2204. Saw Greg celebrated an anniversary. So shout out Greg and his wife. Home, car, boat, motorcycle, RV, scooter, trailer, whatever you've got that's got wheels, call Greg and the team. See if they can save you some money today. You can go to bruntinsurance.com or you can call them 954-589-2204. Appreciate Greg Brunt and his support of the show. It's an interesting take. The best Florida State team in 5 years. I would certainly agree with that. Worst Florida team in quite a while. I don't know. Just before Mullen got here, I mean, didn't Florida win four games? And then last year, I think last year's Florida team.
It's been
team,
5 years. This is Mullen was there for four. So, I mean, okay. When the comment is the worst okay, fine, in 5 years, fine.
I thought he was three. So my bad. And I also think last year's Florida team was pretty similar to this one. You know, both teams went 6-6. I don't know that this team was leaps and bounds worse than last year.
No, I don't think that they were leaps and bounds worse, but I think that they were worse.
I don't know. I mean, last year, I really don't even know. I don't know how you would really figure that out. But, I mean, both teams are pretty bad. So, I do think what's interesting is that I don't know that it's super shocking that Florida didn't have a great team. We talked about this. Their Vegas over-under was 6.5. This game was going to determine whether or not they did that. I do think what was more surprising is that Florida State was as good as they were. I don't think anybody expected Florida State to get to 9 wins this year. I think we both had them at 7.
Yeah.
And so I think Florida State played this season better than anybody expected. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are further along in the rebuild than we would have expected. I think we all kind of I think my thought going into this year was you're probably going to win 7 games if you can find a way to have some success early.
Yeah.
You can get that record up a little bit higher. And that's exactly what they did, right? The season went about like I thought it would. I thought they would struggle early. They didn't do that. I thought they would definitely struggle in the middle. They did do that. And then I thought they'd have a lot of success at the end. I didn't think that Florida or Miami were going to be world beaters. I thought that either of those teams at the beginning of the year could win. Obviously, Miami didn't end up being a challenge at all. But I thought the schedule set up for you to be close in some games early. They found a way to win them, lose some games in the middle, and then win some games at the end. And they did that really, really well. I think it's a testament to, you know, we talk a lot about the, you know, talent rankings and things like that. Florida has the 12th most talented team according to the 247 recruiting rankings. Florida State's is 17th. I think it's a testament to what Norvell was able to get out of this team, mm-hmm. who doesn't have a former 5-star on the roster, also has less 4-stars than Florida does as well. I think it's
I don't know how many 5-stars Florida still has on the roster since Britton Cox is gone, but
started the year with 5. I think that it's a testament to what Norvell is able to get out of this team. And I think that if he's able to continue to trend upward in recruiting, the team could continue to get better and better and better. They've obviously got an easier path every year by being in the ACC. Mm-hmm. They finished 2nd in the division this year to Clemson, and they lost to Clemson by 6 points. If they had won that game, well, no, it wouldn't matter. Both their games are out of conference, but finished 2nd in the division. And that's where they need to be, right? Like Florida State needs to continuously be in that top 2 or 3 in the ACC. And that's how you can slowly close that gap back up to Clemson. Clemson's got a way to go until they're competing for titles again as well. So the gap is still wide there too. But yeah, I thought the season went really, really well. Yeah, game was really good too. Like, let me back up and go, you know, smaller picture before big picture. I thought Florida State and Florida did a great job responding at times. They both got punched in the mouth at times, and they both fought back very, very well. I do. I think the difference in the game did come down to the fact that I think Jordan Travis outplayed Anthony Richardson, and I think Florida State's defense outplayed Florida's defense, right? And I don't, you know, I think that both running attacks were really, really good. ETN was great. Trey Benson was great. I thought Jordan Travis made a couple more plays down the stretch, and Florida State's defense got a couple more stops than Florida's did. Right. And I think that that's kind of what we expected this game. I don't think there were, you know, Florida State had a fumble early. Florida had an interception. Neither of those really led to anything. Both teams got stopped on 4th down once, but outside of that, you didn't have any big massive turnovers or big massive special teams plays.
Yeah.
I think the game,
I was kind of surprised that it was as close as it was with Richardson being as bad as he was. And I mean, truly, when you look at it, so he had 198 yards, so 200 yards, 3 TDs, 1 interception, and 41 rushing on its surface is not that bad. It's the 30% completion rate that is the part of that is wild. So we talked about last week how Florida's key to winning was for Anthony Richardson to be the best player on the field, which we agreed he is capable of. He just has not shown it to us consistently. But he wasn't, right? He wasn't the best quarterback on the field. He wasn't the best player on the field. So it was interesting. And, you know, Florida relied heavily on their running game, which is, you know, both teams have really impressive running games, but I did find it interesting. I felt like, you know, and we talked about this last week too, whether or not Richardson is saving himself for the NFL, with, you know, the rumor is that he's going to declare that he won't be in the bowl game. But I just, you know, he is capable. There were so many opportunities where if he had just taken off and a couple that he did, right? And when he did, it was positive yardage. It did something. I don't think that Florida State really stopped his running game. I think Anthony Richardson didn't call his own number nearly enough. I will say I was kind of impressed with, I mean, it was obviously very limited, but Jalen Kitna, the couple times that he had to come in for Richardson were pressure situations. It was definitely not, you know, the traditional, we're bringing our backup in because it's either a blowout one way or the other or something like that. And there's not a lot of practice. It was things like he went down or his helmet came off and he had to come off the field for a play or so. And Kitna actually made a really good read in his, you know, very brief time on the field, which is kind of refreshing to see, because I don't know that we've seen anybody make the right read this whole football season for us. But, you know, again, no moral victories, wanted to win this, but I don't think that you can be, you know, turn your nose up to the fight that happened.
Yeah, no, I think Florida played, you know, really well offensively in this game, you know, early, mm-hmm. you know, I thought Florida State, And they really did. You know, I thought Florida State was going to move the ball with pretty good ease, and they really did all game, right? Even the first drive where they
did anybody punt it. The first half? I don't think that they did, right?
No, nope. Well, we had one punt.
Okay, Florida State had one punt. Florida didn't punt the first the half, I just remember keep thinking like, holy shit, oh my God.
We got the ball with like 40 seconds left and just kind of like ran a few plays and punted. But yeah, I thought that – I mean, Florida State, even on the drives that they, you know, first drive got the ball over midfield and fumbled. They had a fourth down attempt at Florida's 36, drove really well there, missed a field goal on a 30-yard drive, so they got inside the 15 on that drive.
You have worse kicking issues than Florida has, because we don't have great special teams this year, but I was also equally meh to Florida State's.
Yeah, I mean – kind of missed a chip shot, right? And then ended up making a 46-yarder to start the second half.
Yeah.
Which I do. I think the game changed. I know Florida fought back in the fourth quarter, but once they went down 14, and hats off to Florida for coming back and tying it up, I didn't think that Florida was going to be able to
score three more times,
like, and get the three stops.
Well, you know, was the thing, is that we talked about this before. I think I was slightly more confident that Florida's offense could hang than you were, but we knew a track meet was what was coming, right? That Florida's defense wasn't going to stop anybody. If it was going to come down to who was going to make a stop, odds were it was going to be Florida State's defense that was going to make, you know, a stop. That's what the difference was, right? Like, and that's why when Florida State went up 14, from my point of view, it did feel insurmountable. And again, hats off that they were able to tie it up, because not only do you need your offense to go down and score, which they did do pretty handily most of the game, but you needed your defense to come up with not one, but two stops to make that possible. And that just felt very improbable given the way the defense played.
Yeah, you're always nervous, and especially when Florida was driving there at the end, you're like, oh man, please don't do this right now.
But and that would be very like Richardson-esque, right? To like a play like dog poop for lots of the game and then figure out a way to put together a 2-minute drive at the end, because that's what he had to do against USF. That's what he did against Utah. Like, it is something that he is capable of doing, but obviously it did not happen.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I thought, you know, again, hats off to them, credit to them for fighting back. I think when Florida State got the ball back with what? I think there were seven-ish minutes to go. Mm-hmm. You know, actually that first down, I think they ran for eight. Then they lost 4 yards, but then a huge pass from Travis to Johnny Wilson down the left side. I think once they completed that and they were up around the 40,
yeah.
I mean, I think with, you know, 6 minutes to go, you're like, all right, we, you know, Florida State fans felt great. Florida fans were like, crap, we need right. somebody to make a mistake. So anyway, it was fun. It'll be interesting to see. So here's what is certainly the, you know, looking way, way ahead to next season for both teams. I think Florida State's going to return a lot of guys. And I think Jordan Travis comes back. And I think Florida is going to prune a lot of this roster. And
yeah, I think so. And I already started today, actually.
And I do think that the quarterback's gone. And so it'll be very interesting to see where Florida's at and sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I actually heard, and I very rarely say what I hear unless it's something that, like, I am very confident in the person it came from. But I did hear that Richardson would be gone, but I also heard that if Richardson wasn't going pro, that Richardson would be hitting the portal, which is an interesting thought. But I do kind of feel like he was mismanaged. I don't know exactly how he was mismanaged because I'm not in the quarterback room. I don't know if he was given too much control or not enough control of the offense, which kind of, you know, tells me how he was mismanaged one way or the other, basically. But I don't think we see him in the bowl game. I do think this becomes Kitna's team. I'll be interested to see. I have heard that Florida has some interest in some quarterbacks that either are already in the portal or I'm hearing are going to be hitting the portal. I won't say any names because I don't want to jinx that situation from happening, but I would not be surprised if Florida ends up with a veteran quarterback from the portal. Hopefully they end up with lots of people from the portal, right? Like I want to say six guys have already said that they're transferring. Are hitting the portal. I don't think it would be a surprise for 20 guys to transfer. There's been rumors of up to 30. That sounds like a lot to me, but I don't know. Who knows? And the faster this roster turns over, the better for Napier, right? If you think that you fully get your shot once you have your pieces in place, your guys, then roster turnover is something that is important if you're going to be successful, or at least if you're going to have the opportunity to fully try your plan.
I think it's figuring out those growing pains, right? And it's getting through because you are going to bring a lot of guys in that the roster is going to look very, very different. And I'm not, you know, in looking at the schedule, you know, I don't think this happens next year, but I do think that it did take Florida State a little bit of time last year to figure out some of those growing pains after that first offseason. Obviously, they started 0-4, and I'm certainly not predicting that Florida does that with McNeese State and Charlotte on the schedule. But I do think it does take some time to kind of get through some of that stuff. They got to go out to Utah. They got to play a Tennessee team next year that I think will not be as good as they were last year.
And they get them at home too, which I'll take Tennessee at home over playing in Knoxville any day of the week.
So I think it's how quickly can they gel? How quickly can they get kind of things rolling? I will say the schedule, very early look at it, sets up, I think, pretty favorably for Florida. I think it's very light on the front end and gets tougher toward the middle and back end, as you know.
I mean, they started with the three top 25 teams
this year
in the first four games this year. And so that's not the way that a normal SEC schedule is built. Generally, it is usually middle and back heavy.
Next year, later in the year, you've got at South Carolina, which seems to be a team that is on the rise.
On the rise. I don't know Georgia. That I think overall it's like a way easier schedule by any means. I just think it sets up better for a team that's going to have some growing pains.
Yeah, I do think it's slightly easier. Utah is not going to be as good next year. Tennessee is not going to be as good next year. Like Utah, Tennessee, and Kentucky are all losing first or second round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it quite a bit easier.
But also Florida will be breaking in a new quarterback too.
Not that their quarterback was great in two of those games.
Anyway. I mean, but, he's apparently going to go first round in the NFL draft, so he's not that bad.
And then you get Florida State at home, which I think is a boost, you know. So I think there's some pros to it for sure. So I don't know, we'll see. And I think that, you know,
South Carolina wins looking pretty good though.
That's probably the weird. I mean, if that's the
that's why probably, you play the games. That is why college football is the
that's
best.
That's probably the weirdest result. I don't know if South Carolina just went out drinking the night before in Gainesville or what they were doing, but I don't understand that one. I don't. That's the game.
That's also maybe like Texas A&M and LSU too. I mean, I guess Texas A&M at least has the talent sitting on their roster.
See, all I think last week you were telling me that you think that LSU would have won if Florida State went head to head with LSU, and so I'm just glad that that's the way that result. Yeah,
I still
out.
Think that
after losing the four. See, I just think LSU was that good.
I mean,
I think LSU had struggled down the stretch. They barely beat Auburn. They barely beat Arkansas.
So is that so wait, they're a good strong win for you, or they're not a good team?
I think it's a good win. I don't think they're a great team by any means. They're a good team. I think they're appropriately ranked. I think at 9-3, they're an above average team.
This past week was bananas in college football. Just the teams that had opportunities to do something major that dropped the ball is kind of astounding in the last 2 weeks. That's why college football is the best sport. I root for chaos pretty much any year that my team's not in it because I think it makes it more fun. I actually am going to root for some more chaos this upcoming week because I do think it just makes it that much more exciting. But, you know, South Carolina is trending in the right direction. I feel bad for Hendon Hooker with Tennessee and tearing his ACL but that was just such a baffling, like that's a look ahead. That's we're going to be in the playoffs kind of thing where something like that happens because Tennessee is the better team. But hey, you know, South Carolina got to play spoiler to Clemson too. Like there's not a lot better than making sure your rival doesn't make it into the playoffs.
How did they not score on that Florida defense?
I don't know. They decided y'all had the to signals show up or something. Day. I have no idea.
Y'all had the calls or something. All right, cool. World. Well, we're going to get pretty close here. Next week, we'll have an idea. Actually, no. Next week, we'll know what the bowls are. We'll know what the playoffs are. Obviously, it's pretty heavy recruiting season. We don't go super deep or hard into that.
But I think things will start heating up in the next week or two, especially with
interesting. Transfer portal.
Transfer portal will be really easy. And I think that the transfer portal, both for Florida State is somebody that's done it well. I think that Dan Mullen is somebody who used the portal well in the past. I'm interested to see if Napier can use the portal well. He used it well last year, but he used it to bring his own guys from Louisiana. So I don't know that you get full credit for your portal recruiting abilities when you already had relationships with these guys. There's apparently a lot of Texas A&M guys that are going to be jumping ship, but I do think that that's something you really have to vet really well before you're willing to take some of those guys, because I just feel like that locker room is pretty toxic. So you got to make sure that you're getting somebody running from the toxicness, not somebody that is the toxic problem. And I think that was maybe something
I don't think head coaches are going to be in the transfer portal. So the toxic problem will probably remain in College Station.
Yeah.
So,
but we'll see.
We'll get to talk about the playoff and everything next week. But I am excited for Conference Championship weekend.
Me too.
We had some picks last week. You had a good week. We'll say that. We had 11 games. We had one push. So that one didn't count. But you were better than me last week. Three games better. I got the point on Mississippi State, so I started the Egg Bowl out really good.
And what was the line on that?
Ole Miss -2.
Okay.
Mississippi State wins. They get the point, or I get the point. I also got Tulane, so I started out really, really well. I started out 2-0, and I was like, let's go. UGA, you got Georgia Tech there. They kept that game really close. You got USC, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
We both took Ohio State. No points.
I'm okay losing that one.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Mm-hmm. We both took Auburn. That was a push, so no point, but also no negative points there. You got Oregon State over Oregon. Oregon had a chance to get into the Rose Bowl. I'm sorry, into the Pac-12 championship. They blew it. We both took LSU, so we both missed that one. You took USC. I took Notre Dame, so you got that one right. We both got Pittsburgh over Miami, and that beat down. And then silver lining of the week, you did get the UF spread over FSU. You went 6-4. I went 3-7 on the week. So we're back close again. I am 57-41, and you are 54-44. So only three games separate us. Lower, we've got less games to pick this week.
Yeah.
But because I'm not picking like the crab bowls. Only ranked matchups are we picking here. USC is a 3-point favorite against Utah. I'll go USC here.
I'll go Utah.
I think USC looked really good.
They did. They looked good.
Their name. I think they know that they win and they're in.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna play their tails off. TCU is probably in either way, but they're a 2.5-point favorite against Kansas State. I like TCU here as well.
I like TCU too, even though I would like Kansas State to win.
UGA is a 17.5-point favorite against LSU. For Carl here, LSU coming off the A&M loss.
I'm going to take LSU to cover. I think Georgia wins, but 17.5 in a conference championship game is a lot.
I'll go with UGA here. I think they rebound from a bad performance last week. Also, I don't know. That could go LSU's way, but I do think UGA wins either way. Tulane is a 3-point favorite against UCF.
Give me Tulane.
I like Tulane as well. Michigan is a 16.5-point favorite against Purdue. I think Michigan covers here.
I think Michigan covers too, even though that also would be hilarious.
Last one, Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite against UNC. I like UNC to cover here. I don't know if they win. I think they have a chance, but I like UNC.
Well, we're not picking very many different, but I also like UNC.
Yeah, I think UNC's quarterback,
Drake Mays, is
top two in the ACC, and he's not first. So anyway, I think he's been really good, and so I'll just take the better quarterback to at least keep it close. I don't know if he'll win or not, but I do think that he can help keep that game somewhat close. Okay, so UGA is in either way. Mm-hmm. Michigan, are they in either way? Beating Ohio State, like
I think they.
Here's just an overall, right? What's more important to you, a better win or a worse loss? So like Michigan would have the better win of the two.
So I
and Ohio State think, would have the better loss.
Head to head is what matters first, right? But if you're talking about two teams that didn't play each other, so there's not a head to head, I almost think the worst loss is more important because you can't pick who's on your schedule, right? So like better wins, you play the games that are on your schedule. You can, if you don't have four top 25 wins, it's not really your fault if you won all your games. You played the schedule that you were slated to have. But if you have a really bad loss by, you know, multiple touchdowns or just a team you shouldn't have lost to, that to me is almost more damning than not having strong enough wins. You could look at it a different way. If you're talking about, okay, we played a lot of top 10 teams, or we didn't play any either way, but we just barely squeaked by all of our games. I mean, I guess that, it takes talent to go undefeated though. So even if you did just squeak by and it's not that impressive on paper, it's hard to run the table. So that in itself is impressive. But this
bad loss might be more damning. So, if Michigan was to lose to Purdue, mm-hmm. and Ohio State got blown out. So, I think State's out either way.
I think Ohio State's out. But so, the directions that the playoff committee are given is that there's supposed to be a lot of deference given to conference champions. They're supposed to look at head-to-head. They're supposed to look at basically like strength of schedule, but also performance based, like what did you see in the eye test? Did they dominate? Did they not? And I think so for a team like TCU, I don't know that I agree with you that if TCU loses, they're in anyway, because you know, TCU wouldn't be a conference champion. And I don't think that they've passed the eye test most of the time this year. I don't think that their strength of schedule is anything particularly impressive. So did they run the table? Yeah. And it is really hard to be undefeated. But this year we actually have UGA undefeated and Michigan as well, which this is an anomaly to most college football seasons. There's not generally three undefeated teams at this point in the year. I just don't think that, like, I mean, I don't know. We talk about this, but like Vegas really is who should determine who's in this. TCU is going to be double digit underdogs to pretty much anybody else we're having a conversation with, which if I'm on the playoff committee is something I'm looking at. But I think USC is looking really hot right now. I think that you know, win and they are for sure in. Obviously, I think UGA is in whether they win or they lose. If
how much do they have to lose by for you to say they shouldn't go? 45? Like if they lost by 45, you kick them out, right?
Yeah, I mean 45 would be crazy. But this is my scenario for you. So
maybe
not.
Maybe it'd still be in. Who knows?
Let's say USC loses to Utah. All right. Let's say Kansas State loses or beats TCU. We can say Michigan wins, just, you know, whatever. Who, Georgia, and we'll say Georgia wins. Who is in? Who are your four teams?
So I know you said you don't like TCU's strength of schedule, but they do have the ninth best strength of schedule in college football right now.
Yeah, which I don't agree with at all, but
I mean, it's all computer analytics and stuff. Yeah. So I'm not as low on that, so I'd still have TCU in. Okay, unless they go out and just get blown out, I think TCU's in either
way. So you have Georgia in, Michigan in, and TCU in.
And then so you're left with Alabama, you're left with Ohio State, and that's pretty much it.
You're left with Tennessee.
Nah, Tennessee's out. They lost twice, right?
So is Alabama. And they beat Alabama head-to-head.
Yeah. But you said, bad losses hurt you worse.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama lost to Tennessee and LSU, whereas Tennessee lost to South Carolina. I think they're out. I think Tennessee's gone. I think who was Tennessee's other loss?
Tennessee lost to,
UGA.
UGA. Yeah.
And I think, didn't they get blown out on that one too? So like they don't have a good loss. Like both their losses are like, yeah. So yeah. I think Alabama.
But if you're supposed to look at head-to-head.
I think it also matters like how you're playing lately and Tennessee not having their quarterback.
So I think that will be the factor. I think if Hendon Hooker is healthy, this is a different conversation because you really should give deference to head-to-head. You can say like, oh, well, look at their strength of schedule or, oh, well, look at these losses. We literally saw these two teams play and we know what the outcome was. But this is not the same Tennessee
team
that beat Alabama because they don't have Hendon Hooker.
You're left with Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama has one more loss. Alabama has the hardest strength of schedule. Ohio State has the fourth hardest strength of schedule. So I don't think that's like leaps and bounds, you know, better or worse. I do think that extra loss I think it'd be pretty unprecedented for them to put Alabama in over Ohio State. The other thing that I'd say is I don't know. Let me look at Ohio State's real quick, but Ohio State football schedule. I don't think Alabama has a good win. Like, who's Alabama's best win?
I mean, who's Ohio State's best win?
That's what I'm looking up. That's what I want to see. Ohio State does have a win against top five Notre Dame. They've also got a win against number 13 Penn State, and then they lost to number 3 Michigan. Alabama. 2022 football schedule. I think their best win is Ole Miss at this point. Like, I just don't. Arkansas was number 20, and then they beat Ole Miss, who was number 11, and then really fell off. So I don't think Alabama has a quality, like a truly quality win. I mean, at Ole Miss is probably the best, but what's a better win between Notre Dame and Ole Miss right now? I don't know that they're that much different. So I think the one more loss for Alabama is what would keep Ohio State further. I also think, you know, tomorrow night, whoever is ranked higher when the rankings come out, like that's your answer.
But is it? because
I think so, because they're not supposed to do that. But when both teams aren't going to play this week.
So if Alabama is over Ohio State next week.
On Alabama's Tuesday. Like tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Like
that's what I meant. Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Then I think Alabama would go in. Because I know they're not supposed to do that, but like, what would change your, like, why would you rate Ohio State over Alabama now and then next week?
Because they say playing, this week, right? The directions are
but
this
what
week.
Would have changed? So, but what would have changed when neither team played? So like, that's what, I mean you're right about that.
More
like,
from your
just
loss. Ohio State losing late is the thing that's going to be difficult for them. It is so much better to lose at the beginning of the season than it is to lose at the end of the season, which is kind of silly because a loss is a loss is a loss, you know, in terms of record, but it's not in terms of things like the playoffs, because
the bigger deal is losing twice. Yeah. I think that's what's going to hurt Alabama. And we'll see. If Alabama is ranked ahead of Ohio State on Tuesday, then that's how it's going to end up. Like,
right.
There's no, I mean, the playoff committee doesn't make any sense anyway, but like in no world can I imagine that they really put Ohio State ahead of Alabama this week and then somehow flip that around when neither team took the field. Because like legitimately, what would have changed your opinion about either one of those teams? Like the social media teams? You know, so like I don't know how you would change that around. I mean, done stuff before, but that'd be really weird to me.
Yeah. So if LSU beats Georgia,
they're out.
I think Georgia wins too, but let's say LSU beats Georgia. Does that change playoff committee's mind? Because they're thinking, okay, well, this is a real deal LSU team. And that's one of Alabama's losses.
I don't think so. Cause I think they saw what LSU just did last week against a 4-win Texas A&M. So that law, I think whatever goodwill LSU
had earned, they lost.
They lost last. Like now it's,
but if
like,
they beat the number LSU one team lost, in the country who's undefeated.
Say what?
I said, but if they beat the number one undefeated team in the country, there's gonna
be more impressive. Is it more impressive to beat an 11-win team or more disgusting to lose to a 4-win team? I don't so you know, I don't know. I think that
college football in a nutshell.
I think that I think that Alabama's no longer really getting credit for that LSU loss after Saturday. Now they'd get more, but would it be enough to account for the second loss? Yeah. Like I think that'd be too big of a hill to climb.
Sneaking in, by the way, for the record.
Say what?
I said I think Alabama ends up sneaking in for the record, but and now if everything really plays out the way it's supposed to, then no, because Georgia will go, Michigan will go, USC will go, TCU will go. It's just we don't generally get a college football weekend where everything goes according to plan. So
yeah, I could certainly see Utah or Kansas State winning this weekend and messing some stuff up, but I think we will know tomorrow night when the rankings come out whether or not it's Alabama or Ohio State.
What the backup plan is.
Who number five is really, really important.
Yeah.
When the rankings came out this week, Ohio
State.
What
if all the favorites lose? Then what?
If all the favorites lose, Georgia and Michigan still go. I think TCU still goes, and Ohio State's the one to sneak in.
Even if they all lose. Okay.
Yeah, because I still think – getting to the conference champions should be weighted the highest, but getting to
and
the
it is. But if you're, but it's not a default, like, okay, we send the winner because all the people that they're playing don't have a legitimate shot to go in.
But getting to the conference championship also should give,
you're getting penalized for playing in a game that 12 other teams are sitting home for.
Now, if Michigan was to lose by like 30 or something to Purdue, then I could see you saying like, maybe we should put Ohio State in this thing. Like you just lost by 2 years, not as good of a team right now. But even then, like that head-to-head being the week before.
I don't know that if Michigan loses by 30, I kind of think it negates Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, but then
because
I think
the loss to Ohio or to Michigan happened literally last week. So it's pretty hard to say like, oh, all of a sudden this team is garbage or this team is great. When there's been 1 week that's passed, if that game had been played at the beginning of the season, a blowout either way would matter less. But if Michigan gets blown out, I think it nixes both of them.
See, I would agree with that. And I don't think Michigan gets blown
out. No, I don't either. But
if Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC were to lose close games, I think the top three remain the same. I don't foresee a scenario where Ohio State and Alabama could get in. I don't see them jumping both of them, right? Like, you know, so I think that, you know, and whoever's ranked higher tomorrow, whoever's ranked number five will get in.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Ohio State being ahead of Alabama in both the coaches and the AP is probably where I lean. Like I lean that I think Ohio State's going to be number five tomorrow after losing to Michigan. But we'll see. The playoff committee sometimes has a mind of their own, so, or 17 minds of their own. So we'll see what they think. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Fun week. Gonna enjoy this for the next 365 days. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. Talk to you guys soon. Go Noles. Don't say it this week. You're not allowed to say it this week. You're not allowed.
I'm allowed. I said it.